Good morning, and thank you for tuning in today to Conti's Law. I'm your host, Attorney Michelle Conti. Conti Law is your legal concierge, we call ourselves. And that's primarily for an example is why we're here today. I'm here with Attorney Rob Fisher Jr., who is a partner over at Edgar Snyder's and Associates. And Rob and I, before we start our discussion, Rob and I have known each other for 20 plus years. Wow, we're old.
Yes.
Rob is my go-to with anything personal injury related. And if you tuned in last week, you would have heard him make mention of any type of auto accident, injury, slip and fall down, workers' comp, dog bites, things like that. Anything where you're hurt primarily, right, Rob?
Yes.
So thank you for being here today. I want to give out our information right now because that was a complaint that I hear. We don't give the number out enough, so if they have questions or concerns, they can jot it down. It's 724-784-0239. And I'll repeat that a couple of times throughout the show. People wonder why you're here. Now, my listeners have listened to me for a really long time. Why is Rob here talking about personal injury? How the heck does that have anything to do with what we at Conti Law focus on, estate planning, elder law tax, end of life, estate administration? And we can go into this in more detail. Obviously, if you have somebody who has died as a result of their injury, well, that makes sense as to why we would get involved with you. But if I'm, you know, a normal average person, I get into a car accident, you represent me, you get me a settlement, the question always arises, well, what does Conti Law have to do with anything that you have to do with?
Good question. So, at Edgar Snyder & Associates, we represent people that are hurt in accidents. However, what we don't do is we do not do estate work. We do not do what's called trust work. So in cases like that, what we do as a firm is we contract out to other attorneys, in my case, only you.
That's right.
All the time to help us, you know, get the results for our clients they deserve. So again, where you show up, yes, it's any of the tragic, death cases that we deal with. You are involved with the estate work to making sure the estate goes smoothly and all the stuff you do that I don't quite understand.
Right.
And then where you're more important that I think it's a lost art is any type of case where people are dealing with benefits they may be receiving from the government that we need to protect and as a result of a settlement.
Right, and we can jump right in there. But what I want to point out is for my listeners who didn't tune in and hear such an intriguing interview last week, I have to say, about you is that you have been doing this for a long time, approaching 20 years. You have experience on both ends, meaning you were with on the insurance defense side for almost a decade. Now you've transitioned over to what we call the good side with Edgar Snyder's and Associate, doing the personal injury there and representing my clients. You know, if they fall, if they get into an accident and they don't know who to turn to, and I'll give you a perfect scenario. They'll call me because we try to act as that concierge. That's just not a tagline. You know, people will call me and say, my child was hurt in an accident or my child was arrested for allegedly shooting somebody. I mean, it runs the gamut. And so that's where you come in and I say, okay, let's look at this. What happened? Let's work with Rob. So you have the experience on both ends that you really know the ins and the outs of what you're doing. Talk to me a little bit about, I retain you as my attorney because I'm in a car accident. Somebody, and we talked about this last week, commercial vehicle or independent, normal, you know, Joe, your neighbor hits you. So you're going to be our advocate and represent us against the insurance company in that whole ordeal. Let's fast forward to you get us a settlement. Talk to me a little bit about the difference of when you recommend taking the money. It's almost like the lottery. This is what I talk to my clients who have hit the lottery. Do we take the annuity where it's a payment every month? Do we take an outright distribution, a lump sum, so to speak? Talk to us. What's your experience with that? And for us who don't know the difference, what does that even mean?
Okay, so I'll start with what I tell every client. The general rule in Pennsylvania is settlements are not taxable events. In other words, I settle your case for X amount of dollars, you pay the lawyer fees and the costs, and I hand you a check for whatever the amount may be. You don't report that to the government, the IRS doesn't know about it, it's not taxable. Settlements generally are to make you whole. So it's not that you're getting some sort of windfall. There are exceptions, and this is where we contact you, starting with, the any case involving a death. Mm-hmm. There is an estate. So when we open and we handle death claims, there are two sides to the claim. There's the wrongful death claim, and there's the survival claim. And I don't want to get too deep into it, but the basic gist is the I always say the survival claim is the claim of the estate. And the claim of the family is the wrongful death. And that's a very general way to talk about it, but it's important. Wrongful death claims are limited by state statute as to who can recover, but they are also not considered taxable by the government. Whereas survival claims are claims of the estate, and they are absolutely taxable. And again, that's where you come in, because you know all that stuff front, back, and center, and I don't. So you are, even in cases where you don't call me because it's one of your clients, if it's one of my families, then I call you, and you jump right in, and you handle the estate and walk them through it and help them every step of the way. So that's one area. Mm-hmm. Do you want me to keep going?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I think another area that's something that you're great at that I think is undervalued is dealing with individuals that are not, killed in an accident, but rather significantly hurt, but they're receiving some sort of state government benefits. It can happen a myriad of ways. A lot of cases that you and I have dealt with together are cases where there's an individual who unfortunately has a disability that predates the accident, that doesn't allow them to work, and they might be receiving, monthly checks plus medical benefits. Difference being, I always call it Medicaid is the medical benefit, right, whether it be Gateway, UPMC, whatever. And then the income benefit is SSI or, Supplemental Security Income.
Right.
And so where you are required is that, this is where it gets different. So I settle a claim for somebody that, let's just say they have an injured shoulder that requires surgery, and we get them a settlement at the end of the case or a result in court, some sort of jury trial. And we're ready to give them their money. Well, if they are on state benefits such as Medicaid or SSI, those benefits are subject to any income you receive. And for those purposes, a settlement in the personal injury world is considered income for state benefits only. So in that case, if I hand that person a check, they are kicked off all those benefits immediately.
That's right. People don't know that, and that blows my mind, especially if you're receiving benefits. They don't know the ins and the outs. And this is another reason people say, well, I'm not going to sue because I don't want to lose my benefits. And what people need to understand is there are provisions where you can get the best of both worlds. And what I mean by that is you can have Rob settle the case. And I'm just going to use easy numbers. Let's say it's $100,000 that the check. You're going to cut a check out to me because that's, at the end of the day, what I'm getting. But by receiving that $100,000, regardless, and we can go into the difference if it's a structured settlement that I receive monthly income versus an outright distribution. There are, if I'm collecting Medicaid, SSI, there are ways to continue my benefits, but also to put that money in a trust, a special needs trust, so that I preserve my benefits as well. And I think one of mine is an outsider's complaint in the legal industry is not all, but some personal injury attorneys don't take that into account. And they don't take, and obviously they would ask those questions, but they don't take the benefits into the account. And we don't want to have someone disqualified.
Right. And to jump on your back with that, it's not just the person that's injured whose benefits could be affected,
right.
But it's the household. So if you have children that have CHIP, or I know Gateway seems to be more involved lately with that stuff, their benefits could be affected depending on how they're set up. And again, this is where I just call Michelle and say, hey, look, here's the situation. Help us. I can identify it. I can tell the clients for certainty that they're going to have problems. I just don't know how deep the problems go all the time, which is why we end up working together a lot.
Right.
So I think it's important to not only see the client's risks, but also the risks of the family.
If this affects you or you have questions, concerns, as always, give us a call, 724-784-0239. Or check out our website, www.contilawpgh.com. And on a side note, why PGH is tagged on to Conti Law, if you didn't know this, there's a Conti Law in Chicago where we have people call from Chicago all the time, and there's such a confusion, so PGH is tagged on to our firm's name. I want to give an example. So recently, and we won't use the names, you had a very terrible, you had a client who, terrible accident, was killed in a car accident, and she passed away. And the family received this settlement. And I know that we discussed, now this was from years ago, but we discussed part of it was the wrongful death, part of it was the survivor's claim. You know, we were able to handle the estate portion of it. One of the beneficiaries is a child whose kids have special needs. And so this goes off of what you said. It's not just the person who is injured. Now, in this case, obviously, she's deceased. So it's not just her spouse. This is her grandkids. So these are three people down the line that this, and this settlement that you got for them, they could be affected. And you would never think it's the grandkids, that by them having benefits, this settlement at some point could affect their benefits. And because the family's on Medicaid, the kids are on SSI, these are things that people have to think of that necessarily I don't think would cross their minds. Does that make sense?
Right. So what happens is usually at the beginning of the case, we try to get a roadmap of what the benefits are if they exist. Or at the end of the case, we'll also go through everything again just to make sure we're not missing anything. And yeah, in this case from a few years back that you're discussing, I remember because it did involve one of the beneficiaries of the estate was a child of the deceased. And it wasn't that he had benefits that were at risk. It's that he had children that had benefits that, and again, these benefits are typically based on the income of the parents because the kids obviously
right.
don't work. So we have to be careful that those benefits aren't removed the second that person gets handed the check. And the kicker to all this is it's very vague as to how the state government works in terms of who they will keep on and who they will take off benefits.
Right.
In fact, and I'm gonna ask you a question. Is it possible to, in every case, even determine exactly what the government will do with a set of benefits when income is received?
No, it is not. So it like you said, it just depends. Everything just depends on, it could be dependent just on the caseworker for the state who's involved. We've seen it where, and I'm sure you've seen it as well, where it never even causes a red flag. Nobody questions it. It's okay. I have the attitude that I'd rather be cautious and make sure that if a beneficiary receives something, that it's not going to affect the kids who have absolutely nothing to do with the settlement. So just to give the listeners a little bit of background, this individual passed away without a will. So the question that comes to my mind is why are these kids involved, period, with grandma and her passing? And it's because she passed away without a will. And if you've listened to me long enough, I go on and on and belabor the point that if you die in Pennsylvania without a will, the state will indicate and dictate who gets your stuff. And people don't believe that until it happens. It's not necessarily your spouse. So if I die, Jason doesn't get 100% if I don't have a will. It's going to be divided between my spouse and my kids. So it also could be, maybe I'm not married, maybe I don't have kids. So my sister, so let's say I have a sister, I'm going to say it's Melissa. Melissa gets a portion of my stuff. Maybe my brother gets a portion of my stuff. So it's really indicative on what legal documents you have in place, if you have a will in place or if you don't. I tell people all the time, if you have anybody in your family, anybody who could ever take because you die, who collects any variation or form of governmental benefits, you need to talk to us about even just putting that line in your will that their share, should they ever take, goes into a supplemental third party supplemental special needs trust, let's say. In this case, that wasn't the case. There was nothing in place. That's why we have to be concerned with the beneficiaries and their next of kin if they collect benefits. With all that being said, I'm gonna change course on you and talk about, what if you have a minor? Do you represent minors?
Yes, all the time.
So what does that look like? So when you represent them, so does that have to be a car, an automobile injury? Does that, give me an example of why my kid would be represented by you.
It could be anything involving an injury. Age is irrelevant in our world. So okay. You could be 2 or 90 and we would represent you if you're injured in some sort of accident. Minors, though, need even more protection than the 30-year-old or 50-year-old adult. And the reason is because minors can't sign contracts. So typically there's a guardian involved, usually a parent, that helps with the work. But when you're working on a case like that, it's always what is in the best interest of the child. So let's jump forward now to the settlement phase, right?
Okay.
We represent an individual. You know, I'll give you an example. I had a dog bite where a kid got bit on the face, and he represented the child.
So those things actually happen.
Oh, they happen. It's very terrifying. Actually, it's my one Achilles heel of being a personal injury lawyer. Because I have kids of my own, I'm more sensitive to it. I'm even probably more passionate about it than anything else, because I just feel bad,
right.
And it's just so tough. But you know, these kids are resilient. They always pull through. But you represent them and you get them a settlement. And the question is, well, what do you do with the money?
That's right.
In the state of Pennsylvania, children under the age of 18 are not allowed to have money handed to them. The other side of the equation is, you absolutely are not permitted to give the money to their parents, nor should you, because
it's that was going to be my next question.
Yeah, it's not the parents' money, it's the child's money. So the state of Pennsylvania has set up many protections for the child. So basically what happens is, this is very basic, you have two options. Option one, well, first of all, you settle the case and you have to go to a judge in an orphan's court in whatever county they live in, and you have to get an order of court. And that order of court will say exactly how the settlement will be laid out for the child. Costs, medical bills paid, all that stuff. And then there's money left over for the child. Well, what do you do with it? Well, you have two options. So the court order will either say, one, stick it in a bank account. The bank account is for the minor only, not able to be accessed until the minor turns 18 years of age,
mm-hmm.
Which is a fine way to do things depending on the value of the case. But when you have larger cases, mm-hmm. where you have larger settlements, sticking, we'll use your number, even $100,000 in a PNC bank account is not going to do that child any good if they're 4, because
right.
they're going to earn zero interest for 14 years. So we end up getting involved with what's called structured settlements, which I imagine you've probably talked about once or twice before.
Probably.
So structured settlements are ways to capture the money with guaranteed yields that are protected and, again, judge approved. So this isn't something where the stock market could shift the money up or down. These are protected interest-bearing accounts that earn specific money that the family will know about from day one to day 100.
Right.
Nothing changes.
That's good to know.
Yeah, and I always recommend for minors structured settlements, because it's a way to earn the minor more money.
Right.
But lately, what I've been realizing is these structures aren't enough protection for the miner. So I've actually been calling you, Michelle, lately to set up trusts on the back end of these structured settlements so the money has somewhere to dump into that protects the child, because we don't know what's going to happen to these kids as they get older.
That's right. I think that's important to know. And I think the other thing that's important to know is not all parents are created equally. So you and I love our kids and we would do what's in their best interest. But I always tell people I see the worst when money or death are involved. You have the people coming out of the woodwork. I haven't had anybody hit the lottery lately, but when any money is involved, you know, the nephew, the parent, the whomever you haven't talked to in years and years and years, sometime will come knocking on your door. And I find that the kids are the most vulnerable. And I'm glad to say Pennsylvania has those precautions in place so that the money can't get blown or stolen or taken. With that being said, however, I think it is very important just to confirm what you said, that this money should be set aside for them and for their sole use. And the same holds true if that person has benefits. You and I have experienced this where parents' intentions are not always as pure as they should be. And what if mom uses that money or, you know, thinks in her mind that money, even though it's her kid's settlement, is for her benefit and she can go and spend it as she wishes. So we see that end of it. And so it is very important that that money gets sheltered and protected.
And back to the minors very quick, where I've sort of changed how I practice is I also believe that when somebody turns 18 and there's a pot of gold waiting for them, I know when I was 18, I would probably make poor decisions.
Yeah.
I think you probably would have too. So where I think it's very important, see, how the structure world works is, you know, when this child turns 18, all these companies come out of the woodworks. It's not just relatives now. It's these companies, who I won't name, who will offer these kids, you know, they'll pay off half their, you know, they'll give them half the money if they transfer the structure over right away, as opposed to waiting until they're 25, 30.
What does that mean, transfer it over?
In other words, you know, if you have money that you're supposed to get every 3 years per the structure, these companies will come to these kids and say, well, instead of you waiting until you're 30 to get all your money, how about you just take half of it now and sell the structure to us?
They can do that?
Oh, yeah. So this is why I'm involving you more often, because now you can set up a trust, in a parent's name, that is protecting this money so these kids, you know, can have a fighting chance at, you know, a real future, life-changing money that they won't blow when they're 18 like you or I would have.
That's right. I always tell the story, and this happened years ago, at least 10 years, where it had nothing to do with a settlement, but it had to do with a grandfather leaving money to a grandchild. And I said to him, he was raising this kid, and I said to him, you know, you should probably put this in a trust, which you and I both did for our kids. And I know because I did your estate plan, that this money is locked away because kids are dumb and they don't mean to be. They're just immature. You know, it's not their fault. We were immature too. That this kid, though, he was 20 and he went and bought a Bentley. And I'm not even joking. I don't know how much it cost, $200,000-$300,000. And he was so proud because it was only a year used. And that's the worst investment. And I agree with you that money has to be preserved for their future. What's a Bentley going to do? You going to live in it?
Right.
Makes no sense to me. We only have a little bit of time remaining. And as always, thank you, Rob, for being here. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Very knowledgeable. I think it is important for people to understand and to take away from this. And I'll ask you to finish up with what you want them to take away. I think it's important they don't hesitate. It's just a phone call. Call us. You know, usually they'll call us and say, what do you think about this matter? Because we are so close. And I think that's the best thing they can do is make the phone call and ask the question. It can't hurt.
Right. Worst thing we can tell you is no, or you're okay. If not, then it's, hey, you need to get help. And if it's not me, it's call this other person because this lawyer can't help you. Just
right.
Get the help.
Get the help. Absolutely. The last couple seconds of our show, if you have questions, if this hits home, give us a call, 724-784-0239, or check out our website, contilawpgh.com. Rob, what's your last bit of advice?
Thanks for having me. My last bit of advice is to don't hesitate. You already said it. Don't hesitate. Pick up the phone. Get the advice you need to keep going.
Perfect. And as always, thank you. I look forward to having you here again. Have a great weekend.
Thanks.
All right. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.